Our call will echo through 600 cities across 7 continents.
Millions of marchers fill streets in Asia, the United States, and across the world. It's Monday, January 23rd, and this is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Be a part of the program. Get the full experience by joining us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, we hear from the outgoing ambassador to South Korea. The U.S. and Taiwan may have stronger economic ties. Asians are traveling more. And how you might be able to work in the United States. It's all right now on today's VOA Asia. Donald Trump was sworn in as the 45th U.S. president on Friday, and as tens of thousands of people celebrated or protested in the nation's capital, others looked on from around the world with a mixture of admiration and apprehension. Mariama Diallo reports.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
As many Americans celebrated the inauguration of their 45th president, people outside the United States marked the day in their own ways. In Moscow, a Russian army clothing store flashed Trump's image on an electronic billboard and offered discounts to American citizens.
We hope that relations between our Russia and America will improve, that they'll find a common language in relation to Syria, that they will find a common language to get rid of what is going on there.
As far as I know, he is quite a controversial president in the history of the United States, but I hope he will gain the trust of Americans.
But Trump made clear in his inaugural speech that his administration will put American interests first.
For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own.
The attitude has unnerved some in Mexico, where the respected weekly magazine Proceso warns the war is coming.
He's creating a community that is very adept at his aggressive, confrontational speech that tries to polarize American society, because not everything he says is true.
José Luis López Aguirre and his colleague María López Gutiérrez at the Pan American University in Mexico City see the situation differently.
I think that this possible threat of Trump has been greatly exaggerated. We should be waiting. We are dedicated to communication, to give reality and not just the show.
In West Africa's Nigeria and Niger, reactions are also mixed.
Americans have so much to write about Barack Obama's administration. We're praying for him. We're also praying for President Donald Trump to succeed in his government.
Despite President Trump's heated campaign in the past 1 year, our prayers are to him as he should try and unify the world. We also hope he'll help the third world nations reach their potential.
The inauguration attracted U.S. residents of many nationalities to Washington.
I am very happy because in our country, we rarely see this kind of event. This is an honor that we are a minority group here, but have been invited to attend the transition of power from one U.S. president to another.
For me as a Buddhist monk living in this country, I'm happy with him and for participating in this event. This does not mean that I support him, but I'm only here to enjoy this inauguration.
As Trump supporters everywhere celebrate, hundreds gathered in London, West Bank, Brussels, and other cities to protest against his inauguration as U.S. president. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Phil Mercer is in Sydney, Australia for VOA, where he reports thousands of people joined an anti-Donald Trump rally there, part of a series of global protests following the inauguration of the new U.S. president.
They came to challenge what rally organizers called the hateful rhetoric of the new U.S. president. They've accused Donald Trump of normalizing sexism and racism. Protesters marched on the American consulate in Sydney, united in anger and fear at what Trump's leadership could mean for human rights, as well as international trade and security.
I'm outraged when I look at the appointments of the cabinet members. I mean, this is really stupidity taking over the world. This has global implications.
I think it's terrifying, and I think it's only going to get worse. What's going to happen in the Middle East, the United Nations organizations, institutions, NATO, the world as we know it is in for a terrible, terrible time.
Author and Australian television personality Tracy Spicer told the crowd they were part of a global movement.
Today we celebrate the power of all women and issue a clarion call for human rights, dignity and civility. Our call will echo through 600 cities across 7 continents.
Earlier, a global series of anti-Trump rallies had begun in New Zealand, where about 2,000 people marched in 4 cities. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
President Trump on Sunday mocked the hundreds of thousands of people who turned out for those protests across the country. Quote, "Watched protests yesterday, but was under the impression that we just had an election." As he said in a Twitter message from the White House, "Why didn't these people vote? Celebs hurt cause badly." Then 2 hours later, Mr. Trump said in another tweet, "Peaceful protests are the hallmark of our democracy. Even if I don't always agree, I recognize the rights of people to express their views." Well, as the festivities or the demonstrations took place right next to our VOA Asia studio, literally outside on the street, they gathered Sunday on the Women's March on Washington as a rebuke to Trump's inauguration on Friday. These are among the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. An 8.0 magnitude earthquake hits Papua New Guinea. Tsunami threat passes. Train accident in India's southeast kills 35. Dalai Lama hopes President Trump and Russian President Putin will work for peace. Culture minister arrested in growing pox scandal in South Korea. UN seeks $550 million in aid for millions of vulnerable Afghans. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and also on our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Mark Lippert departed Seoul Friday. In an interview with VOA, Ambassador Lippert expressed a sense of satisfaction that, under his watch, the U.S. and South Korea alliance was as close and strong as it has ever been.
A lot of people, including our two presidents, have said the relationship, as I walk out the door, is the best it's ever been. And I take great pride in being a small part of that puzzle.
A former U.S. Navy SEAL who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, he was named the U.S. Ambassador to Seoul in 2014. Lippert resigned this week in accordance with President Donald Trump's order for politically appointed ambassadors to vacate their posts before he took office. The U.S. ambassador was highly regarded and popular in South Korea. That became more difficult after a knife-wielding ultra-nationalist Korean assailant attacked and wounded the ambassador in March 2015. Lippert was slashed 7 times in the face, arms, and hand. Fortunately, his wounds were not life-threatening. Lippert said the help he received from Korean doctors and the outpouring of public support served to further deepen the strong ties of friendship and affection he already felt for the Korean people.
So it was really a great moment. And what that did is basically solidify a longstanding belief that I have, which is, you know, in these moments, you cannot let the extremists win, right? You cannot let one or two individuals overcome the wishes of the great majority of the Korean people. And let's just say that.
Among his achievements, Lippert cites increased U.S. security cooperation with South Korea, along with improved trilateral cooperation with Tokyo against the growing North Korean nuclear threat. He also said that during his time in Seoul, the free trade agreement with South Korea was more fully implemented. And Lippert was quick to point out what he considered was the worst policy failure under his watch.
The regrets is easy. The Congress's failure to ratify and implement the Trans-Pacific Partnership was a great disappointment.
The departing ambassador remains optimistic about the future despite the increasingly tense situation with North Korea. And when asked to send a final message to the North Korean people, Lippert reiterated President Obama's call for unification of the Korean Peninsula.
I think the key message to all Koreans is that we want to see a unified Korean Peninsula one day under a democratic government, free market economy, and a government that respects the basic universal human rights of its people. So that's the dream. We share that dream. We share that dream with all Koreans.
Ambassador Lippert discounts comments made during the presidential campaign by Donald Trump to withdraw U.S. troops from South Korea unless Seoul more fairly reimburses Washington for defense-sharing costs and to possibly allow South Korea and Japan to acquire their own nuclear weapons. Happening now in Asia, human rights lawyers in China have filed suit against the government, accusing Beijing of dereliction of duty in preventing pollution and smog, which has closed schools, roads, and factories. The government also ordering weather bureaus to stop issuing smog alerts. Hear more daily with Steve Miller's Asia Minute on VOA Asia Facebook. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Diplomatically isolated Taiwan looks forward to more military cooperation and high-level visits from the United States under President Donald Trump, although both sides are likely to proceed carefully to avoid a backlash from China. Trump has said in comments as late as last week that he's open to renegotiating U.S. policy that forbids seeing self-ruled Taiwan as its own country. China, which claims sovereignty over Taiwan, has reacted in anger. Washington broke official ties with Taiwan in 1979 in favor of the larger, fast-growing China. Raymond Wu, managing director of the E-Telligence, says a boost in informal ties would probably bring arms sales, military exchanges, and a boost in senior-level visits to Taiwan.
Well, I don't really think President-elect Trump will be the same as President Trump. I think the primary objective is still the preservation of American interests. And many of the foreign policy positions and conducts in the past have proved to be effective, for example, on the One China policy. So I don't really believe there will be a dramatic departure from some of the longstanding U.S. position on these very sensitive issues.
Prospects of a suddenly stronger U.S. relationship began exciting the Taiwanese and worrying China after Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen spoke by phone with Trump on December 2nd. Meanwhile, Trump says he opposes wide-reaching foreign trade deals such as the 12-country Trans-Pacific Partnership, raising hope in Taiwan that he might consider instead bilateral trade or investment deals that make economic sense for American companies. Sean King is Senior Vice President of Park Strategies in New York.
As Trump has spoken of his desire for possible free trade agreements with partners who share our values and ideals, one cannot rule out the prospect of a Trump administration launching free trade negotiations with Taiwan one day.
Chinese President Xi Jinping hopes Taiwan stays muted this year to avoid a situation that, if handled poorly, could get him in trouble with detractors in the Communist Party, says Lin Chun-pin, retired strategic studies professor from Tom Kong University in Taiwan.
I think she understands the tricky nature of how to respond to Trump's presidency. I hope she understands that the current tough attitude from Beijing reflects domestic uncertainties in China.
After the call between Tsai and Trump last month, China demanded Trump drop any designs to give Taiwan formal attention.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Media reports say impeached President Park Geun-hye will sue a South Korean newspaper and its source from the independent counsel team for defamation over the report she ordered the government to create a blacklist of artists. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on our Facebook page. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Asians are traveling more, and that means you're likely to see a lot more airports, hotels, and ground transportation to help you get to your chosen destination. VOA Asia's Steve Miller speaks with Bangkok correspondent Ron Corbin about details from a new travel survey.
It's grown enormously over the past decade. Foreign visitor arrivals in the Asia Pacific, according to the World Travel and Tourism Council, they're running at just under 300 million in 2016, and that's up from 200 million 10 years ago. The WTTC is forecasting about 480 million in the next decade. So the other key thing is that the key outbound market will be China. China's already seen 120 million outbound tourists in 2015. That was up about 12%, and that growth is expected to continue. And also the internal regional travel, that's very significant. This is a major driver of economies, and given the money involved.
What are countries doing to ensure that they're able to meet this demand?
The big problem facing many of the countries with this sharp growth has been infrastructure. So they need to spend money on a whole range of infrastructure, from the physical infrastructure of airports, runways, extra terminals. All these things need to be done, but also on top of that to ensure that there's trained human resources in place throughout the industry, you know, especially in countries like Thailand. I mean, they're having to upgrade their aviation system this year to handle the growth in traffic. It's a big challenge, and it's also, for instance, just a little ways away in India, it's also been raised there about the need for extra infrastructure to meet the growth. They're recommending to in internal growth of the market there to bring on stream airports that have been built but never used. They're also looking to build about 50 new airports over the next decade.
How are Southeast Asian countries discussing the issue of travel?
Several of the agreements, bilateral agreements within ASEAN, this is the Association of Southeast Asian Nations of 10 nations, they're also reaching agreements on aviation to allow easier access for aircraft within the region to land at various airports. But there's also bilateral agreements. One of the things that several countries, Cambodia recently reached agreement with the Philippines, for instance, to open up access for tourists.
And when these countries come together in regional travel forums, are these the kind of topics that are discussed?
The key points that are raised in these major forums in this week's ASEAN Tourism Forum that's being held in Singapore is about the sustainability of the industry. Also, to ensure that that quality is tried to be maintained.
Developing at this hour in Asia, the United States, South Korea, and Japan completed a three-day naval exercise aimed at countering North Korean missile threats. The exercise aimed to boost capabilities to detect and trace incoming missiles. North Korea has said it may launch an intercontinental ballistic missile at any time. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Facebook. Now on VOA Asia, many people from outside the United States dream of working in America. But getting a work visa isn't easy. There were 236,000 applications for a 2017 skilled workers visa. Only 85,000 were available. From Palo Alto, California, Elizabeth Lee reports one Silicon Valley venture capital firm has found a way to help foreign entrepreneurs.
I'll be back.
What?
Inspired by the movie Terminator, making robots is what Yingzhe Fu wanted ever since he was a child. Now that dream is realized in the form of a smart device for new homes. It even tells jokes.
What happened when the strawberry crossed the road? It caused a traffic jam.
So we are basically making a mini computer that home builders directly build our devices into the wall. And that devices will help you to connect it with your mobile phone, with your other smart devices.
Originally from China, Fu is one of the founders of a startup called Tog. He says staying in the United States to work on his company is only possible because of an early stage venture capital firm called Unshackled.
Without their help, without the sponsor me. I don't think I could do that.
One of Unshackled's founding partners, Manan Mehta, is an American but had worked with someone on a visa in a past startup.
Both me and my co-founder, Nithin, respectively had to shut our own companies down due to co-founders on visas.
Mehta says foreign nationals often stay in the United States by getting a job with a company that can sponsor a work visa called the H-1B. Those who are on that visa and want to start their own business do it outside of their full-time job, which was why Mehta's startup failed.
We were left to work with them on nights and weekends. And in this day of improbable innovation, if you don't move fast, you're falling behind.
Unshackled becomes a sponsor of work visas and hires founders of startups to work on their own projects full-time. Unshackled invests up to $300,000 in the startups and provides entrepreneurs with this free co-working space in the heart of Silicon Valley.
In the initial days of a startup, like any cost saving and is very, very helpful, right? So, like for example, we will not be able to afford this space and in the middle of Palo Alto if you had to kind of pay rent.
Unshackled also provides a network of resources, legal help, and mentorship.
Business idea development, marketing, and how to do the pitch for investors to get funding.
So by having this ecosystem where we have everyone working out of our space, they now also create a community, which allows them to share and move faster on experiences and things that work and oftentimes things that don't work.
So far, Unshackled has invested in founders from 15 different countries.
What is the weather in Palo Alto, California?
Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Palo Alto, California.
Our VOA Asia program is directed by Tracy Carter, engineer Aydin Utku, and our VOA Asia team, Steve Miller and Ali Ogden, along with managing director Diane Gao. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Among the most brutal and bloodthirsty members of the violent terror group Daesh, also known as ISIL, are a handful of men who communicate among themselves in English. This group of four, dubbed the Beatles for their heavy British accents, was put in charge of foreign-born hostages held by Daesh. These men are markedly more brutal to the prisoners than other guards, using extreme methods to torture the prisoners. To date, they have also executed by decapitation at least 24 prisoners. A number of these executions were videotaped and posted on the internet by Daesh. Alexander Aman Koti has been identified as one of the members of this group of British terrorists. Born in London, United Kingdom, in December 1983, Koti converted to Islam as a teen. Koti engaged in the group's executions and exceptionally cruel torture methods. Koti has also acted as an ISIL recruiter and is responsible for recruiting several British nationals to join the terrorist organization. The United States periodically identifies certain individuals that are of particular significance to a terrorist organization. In all cases, these are people who have committed or are deemed to pose a significant risk of committing acts of terrorism. Alexander Aman Koti has been identified by the U.S. government as such an individual. As a result, the U.S. Department of State has placed his name on the specially designated nationals list. His assets within U.S. reach have been frozen. No U.S. citizen or company may conduct business with Alexander Koti. This action notifies the international community that Alexander Aman Koti is actively engaged in terrorism. Designations of terrorist individuals and groups expose and isolate organizations and individuals and assist or complement the law enforcement actions of U.S. agencies as well as other governments.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.